This week on Behind the Lens. New Orleans is now an all-charter school district. We'll talk with Doug Harris, director of the Education Research Alliance for New Orleans, about the state of education in the city. Also, the parent of a John F. Kennedy High School senior is suing the school for mismanagement as the fallout over improper record-keeping and alleged grade inflation continues. I'm Jessica Rosegard. You're listening to a special edition of Behind the Lens, a podcast by The Lens.
Brought to you by community support. Learn more at support.thelensnola.org.
As of July 1st, New Orleans is an all-charter school district. The historic McDonough 35 High School was the last to convert to charter and will be run by the nonprofit Inspire NOLA. I sat down with Doug Harris, director of the Education Research Alliance for New Orleans, to talk about education success and accountability in the shift to an all-charter system. What kind of metrics does the Louisiana Department of Education use to rank schools and gauge how well schools are doing?
So like most states, they really rely on two measures, test scores that students take and high school graduation for the high school. So at the elementary and middle school level, it's really just test scores. And at the high school level, then they combine those measures together. And then they take those measures and put them into these letter grades, A through F, to grade the schools.
You've done research, obviously, and there are other things that schools can use in the case that perhaps students aren't great test takers or, you know, to get a broader picture of school performance. And what you look at is improvement over time, right?
Right. So with both of those measures, or with any measure of student outcomes, you can look at how much they're improving over time, or you can just look at where they ended up at the end of the school year. And so the system in Louisiana, again, like most states, is heavily focused on where are you at the end of the school year. And one problem with that is that then you're not really capturing how much students are learning during the school year, and you have some schools who have students who are starting off at a really low level, and the schools do a really good job of helping them improve, but they still end up at a low level at the end of the year because they started off behind. And then you'll have other schools where the students started off at a high test score level, and they didn't learn all that much, but they're still at a high level because they started off at a high level. So it's just not really a very fair approach to it. So they're starting to move a little bit in the direction of these growth measures that take into account where students are starting, but it's still mostly focused on where they end up at the end of the school year.
And those state school performance scores are even more important as New Orleans shifts to this high-stakes all-charter school district, where a charter can be renewed or not based on something like test scores. Is there anything there that you think should change or that you would like to see change?
Yeah, certainly the stakes on these measures are higher in New Orleans than probably anywhere else in the country. So even though they're the same measures, the stakes attached to them are higher. And so puts a lot of pressure on the schools to improve the measures, which is the idea, but then there is this question about whether you may either force them to narrow what's going on in the schools too much so that they're not focusing on the arts, for example, and not doing other things that parents and students think are important. Or that they might not narrow things down, but they might distort the measures. They might teach to the test and spend a lot of time just on test preparation, or they might change grades and make it easy for students to graduate from high school to get their graduation rates up.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that The Lens has been reporting extensively on, alleged grade inflation at John F. Kennedy High School. What was your initial reaction when you heard about those allegations?
Well, unfortunately, I wasn't too surprised, and not because of anything specific about New Orleans, but just because of the national picture that this is a problem in school districts around the country. Not all districts by any means, but all states now have high school graduation as part of their performance measures, and with No Child Left Behind and then additional changes in federal law, that the focus on high school graduation over the last 15 or 20 years has really ratcheted up. And so schools are under more pressure, and unfortunately some schools end up responding to that not by improving the quality of education, but by just changing the measures and changing the data to make their measures look better than they really are.
And so in a perfect world, you know, we're really looking for the best education that kids can get, and we want kids to succeed, and we want schools to succeed. So how can you really, especially in a charter system where there is so much competition for students, for grades, for high-achieving students, how can we make this better for everybody involved?
Well, it's an interesting question. So with this kind of system, you have to have performance measures. If you're going to have charter schools and you're going to have a contract and you're going to say you have to get to a certain performance level if we're going to allow you to continue, then there has to be some way of measuring performance. And it's not easy to do. So I think one general strategy is just to have more auditing of the data. So if the schools are the ones that are kind of creating the data, if you have somebody checking in on it once in a while or having some sort of a whistleblower process where if something's going on, somebody in the school can point it out to somebody and then somebody can investigate that. So if they're not checking the data, then they can expect these kinds of problems probably will come up from time to time.
Is there an upside to gauging schools' success on students' test grades?
Yeah, so there are pluses and minuses for sure. If you have measures that really capture the things that you're aiming for, if that's what the district wants, if that's what the community wants, if they're really just determined to get students to graduate from high school and have them reach some level of proficiency on reading and math, social studies, and science, then it's not an unreasonable way to go. To the extent that we also care about the arts and skills like creativity and so on, and student engagement, these are things that those measures are not going to pick up very well. And we need other ways of dealing with that. So in a charter-based system, one thing you rely on actually is the parents themselves. In a choice-based system, the parents, if they see something that they don't like, the school's not offering enough arts or extracurricular activities, then they can pull them out and they can go to a different school, in theory. So that's an additional check in a system like New Orleans. It's an additional check on those kinds of things and makes it less likely to occur. But it is a concern, I think, and I think people recognize it. I think that the challenge is that the things that are missing from the school performance scores now are things that are hard to measure. And so there's an equal problem of trying to measure and force everything into this measurement-based system where you're going to try to measure things that aren't measurable, and that's probably not healthy either.
What do you see as the current sort of status of New Orleans' all-charter district? Has it been successful? Has it been more successful than what was in place in the past?
Well, so when we compared pre-Katrina to the post-Katrina years, things looked good up until about 2013 or so. We saw steady, fast improvements, and so in the reports that we've put out, we've seen increases in test scores, increases in high school graduation, increases in college going. The college going ones especially important since those are not subject to these distortions and the measures that we've been talking about. Parent satisfaction is higher. Everything is higher. From 2013 on, things begin to stagnate or even decline. Some of the measures have even gone down a bit. And so I think there's a question now about what's next. Like, how do you take it to the next level if it's hit this plateau, essentially? What's next? And so now the district moves into this completely all-charter phase, and I think that's an important step because it signals that that's where the district wants to go. They're not going to maintain the capacity to operate schools anymore, and so it sends a pretty clear signal to anybody thinking of opening a school or being an educator in New Orleans about how that system is going to be set up. And it reinforces the idea that these performance-based contracts are going to be the way in which the district holds schools accountable going forward. Time will tell. Now that we're all district, we're back to OPSB control over the system. Whether they can find ways to improve that system or improve the supports or find some way to keep that improvement.
What still needs to be done or can be done to continue to improve the charter system?
Well, the main mechanism here, again, is the contracts, which means that the main way in which the district has some control over quality is by closing and taking over low-performing schools. And I think that's one question that's not quite answered yet with the district taking over is whether they're going to continue to do that. They were doing it quite actively. The Recovery School District was quite active in closing schools for many years after the reforms. That's obviously not a very popular way to improve schools. Nobody really likes to do that. It's sort of a last gasp effort if nothing else works. But since the district is set up as a place that doesn't really provide the usual professional development, supports, consulting, and so on, there are not a lot of other tools that it has at its disposal other than that. So they can try to spearhead the nonprofit organizations in town to work in providing support for the schools. They can try to work with the universities to try to improve the teacher pipeline. So there are some indirect things that they can do, but the whole logic of the system is to limit the specific ways in which they get involved. So it's a smaller number of strategies. If we were talking about a traditional school district, I could list 10 or 15 things that they might try to do. In the district, you know, in some of those districts, they wouldn't be very good at those things necessarily. And so the argument here is, well, the district wasn't good at it before. Let's just let the schools try to figure it out themselves, working with the nonprofit organization. So that's the logic, and I think that's what they're struggling with right now.
That was Doug Harris, director of the Education Research Alliance for New Orleans. More than half of John F. Kennedy High School seniors were ineligible to graduate. That's according to an audit of student transcripts done after allegations of grade inflation were brought against the school. The parent of one of those seniors has filed a class action lawsuit for financial damages and lost opportunity. I spoke with the attorney representing the families, Suzette Bagnaris of the Bagnaris Firm. Suzette Bagnaris, thank you so much for joining me. What were your thoughts when you first heard about the allegations of grade inflation and students thinking they had graduated but actually not being eligible to graduate from John F. Kennedy High School?
Sin and a shame. I've reflected upon my three daughters that I have been blessed to see cross the graduation stage of high school. One is a valedictorian and the other two with honors, and their college graduations, and I just thought about how blessed I am and how unfortunate it is that these parents and students have been robbed of what should have been a celebration and what should have been a precious moment in their lives. And they're forever robbed of that because now there's a stain on their senior year, on their high school experience, and they'll always have to explain the circumstances under which they obtain their transcript, their GED, or their diploma.
You are representing Darnett Daniels, who is the mother of Taylor McClendon. When did Ms. Daniels reach out to you?
She reached out to me the day before I filed the lawsuit. We had been in the news with respect to another environmental class action we're handling. I had been getting calls from JFK parents for about a week, but we had been so busy with the other case, I hadn't really returned all those calls. And she emailed me and she said, hey, I have an issue. You know, I'm trying to get help for my daughter. I spoke to her that day, drafted the lawsuit that night, sent it to her to approve, and filed it the very next day.
And what exactly are the details of her daughter Taylor's situation there at JFK?
So there are three categories of seniors who did not graduate. The first category is excessive absences. The second category is grad point issues. And the third category is grade fixing allegations, all of which, however, in my opinion, fall under gross mismanagement all the way across the board. Taylor falls in that second category. She was attending Slidell High School. She was recruited by the counselor at John F. Kennedy to transfer over to Kennedy in her junior year and with the promise that she could take grad point classes and graduate early. So Taylor and her mother met with the counselor, made a decision to transfer, and she began taking the grad point classes online. She was instructed that she could do so at home. She had a school passcode that she was given in order to take the grad point courses at home. And, she'd do some in the classroom at school, some at home. And then when she got to the point where it was time for graduation, she was told 2 days prior that she was missing a few hours, one test she had to take in order to graduate. So she took the test. She passed the test. She was told by the counselor she was all clear to graduate. She graduated. And then subsequently never received a diploma, never received a transcript, and was told that now they have learned, or they know now, that they should have had the classes done at school under the supervision of a certified teacher, so none of her grad point hours that she did at home count. So she's been advised that she could come during the summer, and she could take some of the classes, and then she would have to come back in the fall and do a redo, basically, of her senior year and be a part of the class of 2020.
Have you talked to Taylor? How did she react to that news, and how's she doing?
The primary word used by Taylor is that she is embarrassed. You know, she's depressed. She's embarrassed. She doesn't feel like she did anything wrong. She doesn't think she deserves to have to go sit in a classroom and do it all over again when she worked, you know, long hours and late nights to complete all of her grad point courses. She followed the instructions she was given to a T. She did what she was instructed to do, and she just feels like it's unfair. So Taylor has decided that she'd rather get a GED, which is heartbreaking for her and heartbreaking for her parents and her family members. But Taylor was supposed to begin courses at Aveda on June 19th. She had toured the school, she had applied to Aveda, she had applied for her financial aid. All that was missing from her application was her transcript. And because she could not provide a transcript, she could not begin on June 19th. So now her dreams have been delayed while she works out this problem with her transcript. And hopefully, you know, she will either get her GED or get her transcript from this school and move on with her career goals.
And all of the transcripts for the class of 2019 were delayed because of this audit that was being done of all of the graduates because of those three things that you mentioned, because right. of not having the proper credits, too many absences, or grade inflation. What's the end goal here? What are you trying to get out of this case for Taylor?
I would love it if the Bessie Board and the Orleans Parish School Board and the New Beginnings Foundation would recognize that this is an adult problem caused by adults and that they need to act promptly and get these students their transcripts no later than July 10th. That they need to reach out to some of these colleges and explain this problem, not these students, and they need to get them admitted to the places they were trying to go. It is not enough to say, I'm sorry. You know, action needs to be taken, and it needs to be taken swiftly. I think that they can waive some of these requirements because the students did what they were told to do. And let's get an immediate redress to this emergency situation. I mean, colleges across the country and in Louisiana, the deadlines have already elapsed, you know, for applications and for scholarships. These are lost opportunities. And, you know, we need adults to act like adults and find immediate solutions. Now, beyond that, I think it's not enough to say I'm sorry. I think you have kids now who have worthless senior rings that say 2019. Parents sacrificed to buy those senior rings, you know? I mean, not everybody has that money laying around. They came at great sacrifice. Some of these kids work part-time jobs to buy their own rings, right? So they have worthless senior rings. They have worthless senior pictures. You know, if they're being told they have to come back in 2020. And they have lost opportunities that are very difficult to quantify. But I think that they should be reimbursed for their hard costs and expenses of their senior year that are lost. They should be paid for their emotional distress, anxiety, and depression. They should be paid for the loss of opportunity that they have endured, the loss of quality of life that they have experienced since graduation, being told that their graduation is worthless, you know, and any other damages that the court deems to be appropriate. But, you know, first and foremost, let's just do what's right. You know, if I were a parent of one of these kids, I'd be raising hell. You know, I cannot understand the laxed attitude in addressing this. They knew beginning in March they had a problem, or before March when it was revealed they had a problem. Why are we now in July still trying to get a transcript? And why are you holding them all? If some of them are done, release the ones that are completed Why are you waiting to release them all at one time? But everybody should not be penalized like this.
You mentioned that if you were a parent of one of these kids that you'd be raising hell. A parent reached out to you and there's a lawsuit. Are there other parents that you've spoken to or who have reached out to you about joining that lawsuit?
Yes, we represent multiple parents and students, but the requirement for filing a class action petition is you need one. You just need one representative. So we filed the lawsuit in the name of Darnette Daniels individually and on behalf of her daughter and a class of persons similarly situated. What that does is it tolls the statute of limitations for running and protects the rights of all of the individuals who meet the class definition. So I just thought it important to shine a light on this issue immediately. I thought it important to raise awareness on this issue community-wide and to get the ball rolling to try to get some redress for all of them and to protect their individual rights.
Our reporter, Marta Jusen, has been reporting this story from the very beginning, and last week on our podcast, we discussed how this issue might apply to more than just the graduating seniors. Mm-hmm. So are you or is anyone from a representative legal standpoint looking into lower classmen, or are you concerned and are you open to opening that can of worms?
I'm pretty sure it does apply to more than just these seniors, and I'll tell you why. There's another child who we represent who did not graduate because she was missing a half credit of chemistry in her junior year, which was not discovered until now. So I'm sure that there are sophomores and juniors at Kennedy that are in a similar situation and may not even know it yet. So my advice to all of these parents and students, not just at Kennedy, at all of these schools, and I used to do this when my kid was in high school, is every year I'd ask for a copy of their transcript at the end of the school year just so I could see what their grade point average is and where they are in terms of meeting the requirements for graduation. I think we all have to be vigilant and start demanding these documents and asking questions when we have concerns, particularly since the people who we've entrusted to make sure our kids are on target to graduate and are meeting the requirements are not doing so in a prudent manner. So this does extend, in my opinion, beyond the seniors. It is an issue that we will inquire into as we get into the discovery phase of this case. But I think it's important that all of us demand the documentation at the close of every school year just so we can make sure that those in charge are prudently engineering our children's educational path.
Suzette Bagnaris, thank you so much. That's it for this week. Thanks for listening to Behind the Lens. I'm your host, Jessica Rosegard. We'll be back next Friday. And please consider supporting nonprofit journalism in New Orleans. Go to support.thelensnola.org to make a donation today.